Oh, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Well, Jesus on me, working. Oh, what a change in my life. Well, Jesus, working on. Bless you, Brother Coleman.
Praise God, church. It's certainly good to hear you shouting and worshiping and praising the Lord. Thank God. Thank the Lord. I'm certainly happy to be experiencing this great miracle in the local Christian assembly. because it's good for me. Amen. I like it. So, okay, I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and chapter 8. Just want to say a few words to you this morning. This morning's videotape. After this past week, things seem to be going on, to be exploding to the people, where the people seem to understand what's going on. So I feel led to put July 11th message in book form, which you have, because this will give you understanding of the whole season. So I have a few words to tie into it this morning. So I feel that you have got to know the difference between the written six seals and the opening of the seventh seal, which has been in silence. So I have a few words to say just before the tape. Okay, Revelation 5, I think last week, was it, that I told you that Revelation chapter 5 is in two parts? Part 1 through 7 is the revelation part. And 8 through 14 is the manifestation. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside, excuse me, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, excuse me, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of Judah, the tribe of Judah, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now you notice these seven spirits, that, well, you know what that is now, don't you? It's Elohim. And that's seven eyes, which is seven lamps, which is seven men, seven messages, seven messengers, seven thunders, seven virtues. Right here. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Revelation 8:1. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. The Lord had a blessing to read of his word. Father, we have read your word. And now, Lord, may you breathe fire into the word and anoint me, and Lord, especially my throat after speaking last night. And weary, exhausted, but I feel that the Holy Spirit is moving now. So I wanted to come in here and also do my part. So may you strengthen my body, and may you open the people's understanding, and may you pour out the Holy Spirit in revelation of the word. In Jesus' name we pray and ask the blessing. Amen. You may be seated. Norman, for the tape, a little title, "The Revelation of the Six Seals and the Opening of the Seventh Seal." So, amen. Well, just want to say a few words to tie in, and a few things, a few pastoral comments. And the videotape, as you know, is "How Be It We Speak Wisdom Among to Them That Are Perfect." Now, question, a subject. What is the difference between the written six seal mysteries and the hidden mysteries of Revelation 10, 3, and 4? So I'll explain it after. So now, well, church, what can we say about the services this past week? God bless you, Brother Nathaniel. Sunday, Wednesday, last night. So the Holy Spirit is opening up your understanding. Amen. And to me, a special blessing last night. It was so good for me to see my son-in-law, Brother Robledo, really into his ministry. Can you say amen? Can you give Brother Robledo a salute? Amen, Brother Robledo. We are saluting you. So I know he was a blessing to one and all, and I know he was certainly was a blessing to me. You may be seated. So I have how should I put this first? Okay. Well, I'll put it this way. So I trust that all understand about what is to be done to be ready for the third phase. And that's why we had a consecration last night to the third phase, placing Christ's adoption. So that's what we're talking about. Now, for then all of the inspiration that was going on, the cleaning out process and so forth that was going on, well, that's from the ministry. So I thought I'd read something to you about why that must be done that way. Falling apart of the world, Jeffersonville, 1962. Speaking of my gifts, page 23, paragraph 103. And God sets in that system teachers, pastors, prophets, and so forth to keep that messiahship of his straight in there, not mixed up with denominational creeds, but weeds that thing out and keep the church pure, unadulterated to Christ and his word. Page 21, paragraph 147. We wonder today why the gifts and things are not in the church operating the way they should be. Why the gifts are put in the church to separate and take sin out, to keep the church clean. It's God's toxin that's given to the church. Also, it disinfects that he puts into the church to kill out all the parasites. So if you want to know what's going on, that's what went on last night. Had to kill the parasites. And he puts it into the church, you may be seated, to kill out all the parasites that tear up the church. There you are. So the man is not mean, but God told him to kill those parasites. So, and God sprays his church over with his word. And that's what you got last night. And that keeps the termites out. You know, so the church can grow a plant. And God knows what it takes to do it. Well, praise God. You may be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I had to speak to the church about, I think it was worship. So a brother, not from here, from Indiana, he sent me this fax, which really blessed me. Brother, this is real precious to me, because it shows such great respect for the ministry. It shows understanding what the ministry is doing. And then when it's like that, then you can, because preach with self-confidence and knowing that the people understand what you're doing and God called you to do it. So I'll read it to you. It is with sincere gratitude in my heart to write to you today. Gratitude to God for allowing me to be chastised and rebuked. Gratitude to God for allowing me the privilege to have my flesh cut off. Gratitude for the privilege to have the light of the gospel expose the demons in me. God is treating me like a son. I am not a bastard. I don't know how else to put it, when you got done with us at the beginning of the service yesterday, just a couple of weeks ago, I felt so loved. God would only do that to me because he loved me. I didn't see a man there. I've seen plenty of those. I saw God there. And I was so grateful that he allowed me to be partaker of that. For, strange enough to say, it's been the desire of my heart for many years. A couple years ago, we visited New York while you were using another church building, waiting for the new church to be built. While we were there, you announced that the New York church was going to start meeting at the Bethel Academy, and there would be child trained and tutored. The yearning that rose up in my heart at that announcement surprised me. I remember thinking, God, I wish I could be child trained and tutored. I also remember thinking that most people would think I was insane for wanting that. Why would anyone want to be whacked? But in reality, a child longs for that. A true child finds comfort in instruction, rebuke, and reproof. I've often felt that's what David meant when he wrote in Psalm 23, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I can't explain it. I just feel it's the greatest privilege in the world to be under the instruction and the tutoring of the Holy Ghost. I do not believe it is a man doing it. I believe it is Christ himself, for it yields fruit. No man in himself can bring forth fruit like that. They can only bring legalism. But as the Bible says concerning God's chastisement of his sons. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Brother Coleman, when I see you in your current condition, still dragging yourself into church for us, and with your lovely wife in rehabilitation and great distress, I am speechless. I see the love of Christ in you as he was in Moses, standing in the gap for us, standing in the gap for me. Again, I'm truly speechless and find myself unable to properly say thank you. I've never seen love like that. I've never seen the love of Christ displayed like that. I can only pray that God will make me worthy of the gift of this great Ephesians ministry. I sincerely pray that God will heal you and your precious wife, Sister Coleman, and give strength to your family during this time of great trial. I am convinced, though, that it can only end in great victory, for I believe God has ordained it to be so. Thank you again for being a yielded vessel for God to work mightily in the bride through. Appreciate it so much. May God richly bless you, and I'll just leave off his name. So God bless you, my brother. Appreciate it. So it is testimonies like this that would make me double back after last night and hardly having about 2 hours sleep last night. But these kind of testimonies, and this is why I'll come out here and stand for the people. For people like this. God bless you, my brother. Appreciate it. Okay, I have a tremendous testimony. I'm always happy to get the testimonies outside Fort Wayne, Puerto Rico, wherever, because then I can get a gauge, because the bride outside Fort Wayne, different places there, they are hungry. So they appreciate everything so much. It's very hard to get that and hear you preach, and well, you preach. You don't hardly hear anything, but it's preached. But outside, it comes back to you. Dear Brother Coleman, this is this morning, this a.m. this morning, last Sunday morning, we had an unexpected, this is a testimony, visitor at the church, Lauren Myers, Matt Dickerson's uncle, who has been backslid for years, showed up for church. He had a long ponytail down his waist, but it was worshiping throughout the service. Now, I got to stop here on this one. I ain't letting this go by. With a long ponytail. Huh? Nothing for years. But he came in, he was worshiping.
boy.
Amen. Pennsylvania, a long ponytail. So, Brother Bob, maybe you better distribute some ponytails down there. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you, Brother Myers. My. Amen, Brother Robledo. There's something else again there, huh? He had a long ponytail down his waist, but was worshiping throughout the service. And at the end of Brother Nat's message, was weeping under the anointing. When he came back Wednesday, he had a nice, neat haircut. That's all. Never said nothing. It's a seed of God that wants the word. Oh, thank God. Raise your hand. Worship the Lord. Get off those spike heels. Do this, do that. Maybe seated. Thank God for people that want God. Amen. When he came back Wednesday, he had a nice, neat haircut. And looked like a new man. And asked, see, you don't have to ask him anything. Ask how could he pay his tithe. He asked. He know what he's supposed to do. He's been coming every week. He's been coming every service this week. Shouting, worshiping, and crying out to God with tears in his eyes. He told Brother Van Gordon that before he came, he was hoping our group would worship. In his heart. He was hoping that this group will worship. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Hallelujah. My, I'm finished right now. Aye, aye, aye. All these years. Okay. Maybe seated. He told Brother Van Gordon that before he came, he was hoping our group would worship because he wanted to go somewhere where there was worship. But as soon as service started, he said he knew it was going to be all right. Amen. Thank you, Nigeria, for coming here and being with us to worship. God put you in here. Amen. God bless you, Nigeria. Amen. You may be seated. Apparently, he has spoken to Brother Van Gordon on two different occasions over the summer at both Sarah and Matt's weddings, and it stirred something in his heart. I don't know all of his testimony, but Brother Ray gave him Brother Lorette's email tonight so he could send his testimony. At the end of the service tonight, he was so beside himself that he didn't know what to do. He told me, God has been so good to me, I have to tell someone. On a personal note, I am without words after the services this week. I left on Wednesday night spellbound. Unbelievable is the only word that comes to mind. And it was the perfect preparation for tonight to give us a clear, clear picture of the two spirits at work. I believe the kingdoms of the devil are shaken after tonight. Through the strength of this great revelation, the young men shall break out of prisons and destroy every Philistine. Amen. I feel, Lord, let me die with every one of my Philistines. I know that this word shall not return void, and you shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. God bless you, Brother Jim Bontrager. God bless you, Brother Jim. Appreciate it. Well, amen. Well, you may be seated. Would you like to hear Brother Meyer's own testimony? Okay, praise God. In the winter of 1992-93, I got caught up in unbelief and walked away from the Lord and went back to my long-haired, pot-smoking hippie ways. Then I was recently at a wedding supper where there was just enough spiritual wine to make me thirsty. My nephew, Matt Dickerson's wedding at Brother Johnny Cannon's church. But John Van Gordon was there, and we got to talking. The seven thunders deep spoke through his through this brother, and praise God, there was a seven thunder deep to respond. Glory to God. By the time I got home, I was ravenous for more of the word. I dug out what books and tapes I still had by the grace of God. Brother John told me to get back on where I got off. Praise God, I had to pin Harris 92 tapes and started through them. One of the brothers talked about a spiritual identity crisis and about Moses realizing who he was, and that changes had to be made. Praise God. I can't put it all into words right now, but it's been an amazing couple of weeks. Praise God. I came across a place of trying in 1983. Praise God. No more crises. He gave me the faith to know that I'm his son, and it was all over before the beginning. Amen. Then last night, now last night's tape. Then last night, Brother Coleman called out that hippie spirit. Praise God. I was wearing a three-button golf-type shirt, an outward sign of a devil that needed cut away. Glory to God. Keep cutting. Thank God for the sword of the Lord, of the word, and the angel messengers willing to wield it. As the message went on, the spirit was falling on the tape and also in the present. Brother Coleman said to lay your hands on any affliction and it is healed. Not exact words. I put my hand on my leg and claimed healing for injuries received in a collision a few years ago. The enemy fought me on it, but as we worshiped and sang towards the end of Brother Coleman's tape, the pain went away. Glory to God. Listen, I didn't need my cane to go up the stairs or anything. I have to go or I'll be late. I could write praises all day. Thank God for the hallelujah in my soul. God bless you, Brother Lauren Myers, attending in Fort Wayne. Well, God bless you, Brother Myers. Well, 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 well. Well, New York and Pennsylvania, what is the moral of this testimony? God don't need us. He has plenty of people in the message out there with no shepherds or nothing. And they're out there, and he's going to get them. So therefore, all I got to say to you is that, well, praise God. Thank God that you're doing what you're doing. I won't say no more. Amen. Thank God you come alive. Amen. So you may be seated. It's okay. I want to quickly do this here. Today is my anniversary concerning inspiration concerning my third phase. So I'll read it to you, give you an understanding of what's going on. Friday, August 22nd, 1980, I was up in Canada on a hilltop by a chalet up there. Time 10:35 a.m. It's a good time. It was 10:30 to 11 when it thundered. Amen. My son Joseph, I speak to you by my spirit. I have just spoken many things to your heart. You now have a clear revelation of place in Christ, even the third phase of your ministry. I reveal to you that you yourself are assigned to my people. Joseph is a sign of perfection, adoption, etc. Just as you received the revelation down through the years of the following. 1, November 10, 64, faith, Jacob grace, Joseph perfection. In other words, I took my baptism in the Holy Ghost out of Pentecost and brought it into the message, and there God anointed it with the faith of Malachi 4, which was perfection. 2, December 65, virtue, shout of the king. 3, November 1968, knowledge, and that's when he gave me a Leviticus 25, 6 and 9. November 69, temperance, that's when the little Douglas boy was raised from the dead, and he told me not to say nothing, and I wondered why I couldn't say anything. but some of my friends in Fort Wayne, some of them, they will remember that Elias was told, and they said down in the tabernacle that because Brother Collins raised the dead and so forth, to put cold water on it. He said temperance. So that was birthed in April 1970, patience over in Puerto Rico, up in El Yonke, and he gave me Hebrews 10:35-39. You have need of patience after you have done the will of God to inherit the promise. That was 1970, friends. Huh? Patience. October 72, godliness when they tried to burn this church down. June 74, you all know brotherly kindness, the revelation of brotherly kindness coming to you as a thunder. And number 8, then the seven thunders was revealed. September 20th, faith, and February 23rd, 75, virtue, powerful service. The three steps revealed to you, hidden in my second coming. 1, brotherly love, brotherly kindness. 2, holy decency, seventh thunder revelation. 3, place in Christ, adoption. As you were a sign of the two former steps, so are you now to be a sign of the third step, place in Christ. So understand, my son, the Spirit shall be released on the third step, and you shall be a sign of this ministry. You shall return in power. You had your final test, and you shall return and release the power on the third step. Now, the Lord only revealed this part to me December 31st, 2003, because I couldn't understand it. That's why I was looking for part A all the time. And meanwhile, I was in part A for 20 years, and I didn't know it. But he wouldn't tell me. He does it that way after you've done it already, and then he tells you. So, now what happened there, Brother Cone? Well, because Leviticus 25, he said that had to be sowed a seed for 6 years, between 6 and 9. The seventh year, rest. The eighth year, sow the seed again. And then the ninth year, get the fruit. So the seventh year was 1981, and Elohim revelation poured out. I didn't have to do anything. You just pour it out. You know, which you're under right now. Amen. Then the eighth year, 1982, come back around and sowed the seed again. Then the ninth year, because it says that you will do this until the ninth year or until her fruits come in. So the ninth year was 1983 when Brother Robledo stepped out June 8th on a Wednesday night and spoke the word, a charity, absolute bride's faith, and he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. So there was the Spirit release on the third step, but I didn't catch it then. You see? And he told me right after that, you shall return and release the power on the third step. And as you know, down to Fort Wayne and then back to New York and across the world, the Holy Spirit poured out for a birth. So then he told me, water, word, seven seals, blood, seven thunders, revelation, Spirit, Holy Ghost, birth. And I overlooked this for about 20 years. I couldn't figure that out. So the birth was 83. And then from the birth up to here has been place of trying for me. You see, everything being tested and tried. And brother, it's been rough. So now the Holy Spirit is fixing to be released for what? For adoption. So your adoption is on this wise. Brotherly kindness, H, brotherly kindness, first phase, seven thunders, powerful service, second phase, dynamics, seven living voices, third phase, a virtue, your ministry as a sign of adoption, returning in power, heart of trials, and this sign started 1983, I didn't know it, and I was returning in power and did not know it, and went on. So that was the sign of adoption. And that's what you're going to enter into as soon as the dynamics fall. You will go into place of trying. You receive the Holy Ghost if you don't have it, and anointing will be upon you, and then you go out and place a trying. And then comes number two, adoption, speaking the word. So understand this day what the real revelation is. You are to be assigned first of each revelation and position to my bride after you have proven each revelation. Then my people shall enter in and by faith partake of that revelation in its season. So there we are. So it already happened, so I can tell it to you now. Do you mind if I share these things with you? It's okay? Okay. Amen. I'm only trying to because glorify the Lord, that's all. Because not Brother Sill. Amen. On a message in Urim and Thummim, I preached August 25th, 1976 in New York. I was speaking about the voice of the archangel. It's just a little excerpt. I happened to find it. Well, we all feeling fine. We know that the coming of the Lord is right on top of us. We are noticing how the messages is coming right down the pipe. There's something going on, friends. 1976. God is blending in. See, the voice of the archangel has been here all the time now since June 9th. Amen. The voice of the archangel came down and revealed brotherly kindness. Special anointing coming down, which is a special robe. Amen. And down to Georgia, and he displayed it down in Georgia, and the Holy Spirit fell. Oh, it was so simple and humble. See? And then it come around at seven thunders. The anointing increased. See, it got stronger. What is it? God blending in. And February 23rd, 75, it got stronger even yet through 75. It was more powerful, was anointing. That special anointing, that special role, that others might see the role with the word, has been here all the time. It's been the voice of the archangel revealing brotherly kindness, the age where you're at. And then he comes behind it and reveals the seven thunders. See what I mean? That's still the voice of the archangel. So he's already here in two phases already. And now we've just been preaching about the third phase. See what I mean now? The adoption time. Same voice of the archangel. And then this is the manifestation of brotherly kindness and the seven thunders. So pinch yourselves. He's been here all the time. And some didn't know it. But the voice of the archangel, the high priest, has been in all the time in the other phases. See, it's hid. After the shout went forth, the call out age through Malachi 4, the Lord descended as a shout, the pillar of fire. The same pillar of fire come back and reveal brotherly kindness. The Logos was right down in Georgia and displayed it all over the place. Same pillar of fire moved into New York here September 8th through November 17th in 1974. Same pillar of fire, see the word, see coming in. And February 23rd, 75, he come back with a more powerful anointing. Unquote. So we understand today, August 22nd. So now we understand the reference being to the voice of the archangel and the first phase. What was that, Brother Coleman? It was a work of the Holy Spirit. Second phase, what was that? A work of the Holy Spirit. And Souls in Prison, page 50. Brother Branham said every ministry has three phases. And the third phase is adoption time. And Brother Branham said on page 50, he said, it's always been that third pull. Three is perfection. The ministry come to its perfection. Now watch. When it reproduce Christ again in natural amongst human beings. Unquote. So do you have enough faith for God to be veiled in you? I do. I'm looking for it. I'm living for it. I'm pressing for it. I assume that's why you're here. Church, maybe you see it. Could it be that we have finally come to that third phase / third pull, the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed, adoption time, voice of the archangel veil in his people? Are we here? Is that what's going on here from April to now? What's going on now? Amen. So, unveiling of God. Page 41, paragraph 280. Ye are written epistles, read of all men. Translate that. Turn it around this way. See? Just turn it around. You are epistles that has been written, because you can't add nothing to it. That's read of all men. Manifested word of God. In other words, and Peter and John, to show it, when they went up there, they perceived they were ignorant, unlearned. They had no education, but they had taken notes that they'd been with Jesus. They were ignorant and unlearned, but they were written epistles, read that they had been with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was manifesting himself through them. Christ veiled in their flesh. Manifested, made alive, like he was in Moses. Are you aware of what's going on? Could it be 1 Thessalonians 4:16? Maybe seated. Jesus does all three. You know that. The shout, Malachi 4, St. Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:1-7. Seven seals, seven thunder message. Son of man veil as the word in Malachi 4. Number, that's already, this has happened already. Second part, voice of the archangel, Christ veiled. I just read you the quote, so you understand it. Christ veiling his bride in Ephesians 4:11-13. And where's that coming from? Revelation 22:17, the intelligence. There's no more moving faculties beyond the eye, prophetic, Malachi 4. The next is the intelligence, Christ himself, who will govern the whole body. So begin to understand what your promises are. The voice of the archangel, Christ and his bride, in Ephesians 4:11-13, may be seated like he was in Moses. Church, are we here? Have we come this far? Well, okay, and here's a quote. This is from Voice of the Sign, Beaumont, Texas. Come on, Rabbi, to my church. We'll give you full cooperation. Sure, we believe you. You're wonderful. You're the rabbi. You're the young prophet. Come in. All kinds of cooperation. The sign's wonderful. But when the voice spoke and said, I am a Father One, oh my, they couldn't believe that. You make yourself God. They didn't want the voice. They liked the sign. They know. They admitted it was a sign of the Messiah, but the voice, they didn't like that. The works that I do shall you do also. And they said, he's Beelzebub. He said, you generation of snakes. Oh, they hated that voice. What did they do? They put that voice out from among them. They put him out. Jesus said, if they call the master of the house of Beelzebub, how much more will they call his disciples? Remember Revelation 3, at the Laodicean age, and this is the Laodicea, the sign of Sodom is to come. How much more, we here in this area, seeing what's going on over here in New Jersey, right in front of us, sign of Sodom. Correct? And you're getting kind of quiet now there. I thought you were shouting. Amen. This is Laodicean, the sign of Sodom is to come. The voice, return back to the Word, away from his creeds and denominations, and turn back to the Word. When he come according to Revelation 3, he was put out of the church, just like it was then. The signs are all right, but not the voice. They don't want nothing to do with the voice. No, no, the voice. Moses said, if they won't, or God said to Moses, if they won't believe that first voice, the first phase, first pull of the first sign, try them on the second voice, the second pull. And if they don't do that, then get some water and pour it on the ground. That settles it, that's all. Wash the dust from your feet. In other words, as Jesus said, get some water out of the river, pour it upon the ground, become blood, and show that that's what she's going to be drenched in, blood. So that's exactly what it was if they didn't believe the sign. You shall be a sign to your people. I said it when I read it to you, 1980. You may be seated. So if they didn't believe that sign, then the third sign really got it. Now watch, all ministries have three signs if it's sent from God. Jesus had three signs, Moses had three signs, Noah had three signs, Elijah had three signs, and our Elijah today had three. Everything comes in three signs. Well, praise God. What can I tell you? You just pray that God give you understanding what is going on in this transition period. And don't miss it. Okay, now what, you may be seated. Now this ties into exactly what Brother Nathaniel preached last Sunday. It's judgment, friends, on the third sign. It's okay. Well, let's hear from Malachi 4:7 seal message, okay? Sir, is this the time? 1962. Malachi 4 explained the ministry of the mysteries of the written mysteries. Explained the ministry of the mysteries of the written seals, I meant to say. And the six seals and the loose ends. Malachi 4 explained the hidden mysteries of Revelation 10, 3 and 4. Now friends, the hidden mysteries was in Revelation 10, 3 and 4, because when it was spoken, John started to write it. And that's verse 3 and 4. He says, seal it up. You got it? So notice, it takes Christ in Revelation 10, 3 and 4. He's the covenant angel, and he's the one that's going to utter the thunders. Only he. Are you getting it? Only Jesus Christ can reveal the thunders. Okay, hope you get it. Malachi 4 explained the hidden mysteries of Revelation 10, 3 and 4. Now, and then Revelation 10, 7, but in the days of the, well, I have it here, I have it in the Greek, so I'll read it to you in the Greek. Two things that he was to do. Malachi 4 was to wind up the loose end mysteries and the written six seals. Number two, introduce Messiah. St. Luke 17:30. I don't think I read my scripture. I don't remember reading it. Which is Malachi 4, 5, and 6. St. Luke 17:30. And Revelation 10, 1 through 7. I don't think I read it. and introduce the Messiah, St. Luke 17, 30, the revealing of the Son of Man. Are you beginning to catch something here?
Yeah.
Revelation 10 and 3 had the thunders. And only Christ could reveal that.
Yeah.
Revelation 10, 7, the angel from Revelation 3, 14 through 20 through there, that was the seventh church angel. Well, he was to come, and when he would begin to sound, the entire mystery of God would be finished. Finished. You got it? And then he said two of us cannot be here. So he had to fade away, and Christ had to fade into him. Well, a good audience so far. Okay, then we're going to unravel it here. Do you have time today?
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Amen. Because I don't want to rush, and my throat is no good anyway. You may be seated. Sir, is this the time? Page 36. The book that is written within is then completed. All these mysteries have finished to be sounded. See what he said? What he's about to sound. The mystery should be finished. The mystery of God. See? And then, of course, when you open the seventh seal, silence. Secret. Nobody knows. It's been that way all the way down to 74 and 81. Silence was broken. Hey. Okay. Now let me read it again. You may be seated so you will be sure. Now look. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the last angel, these are his words. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. When he starts to sound right away, finish. But it's on tape. And years later, you need somebody to come with a revelation and pick it up. Okay. Page 36. The book that is written within is then completed when this angel ceases. I'm talking about the seventh angel from Revelation 3, 14 through 22. It's finished. I'm not talking about the other angel in Revelation 10, 3 and 4. One is a man and one is Christ. Now please understand this. When the seven angels' message is completed, the Godhead mystery, serpent seed mystery, all the other mysteries of these things, eternal sonship, as we talk about it, how could he be eternal son when eternity never began and never ends? And a son is something that's begotten of. How can it make sense? Page 37. Notice the book written. When this angel finishes all these loose end ministries that through the battle they fought, Luther fought, Wesley fought, Pentecostals fought. But this coming one says the Bible that in the days of his sounding, all these mysteries, the oneness ran off in Jesus' name, the Trinity went off of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, just like they did at Nicaea Council. Same thing, they both was wrong. But down the middle of the road, in the scripture lays the truth, lays out the truth. You see where we at? The angel of the Lord said. Now notice Revelation 5:1. Listen at this now. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within. The writing was with inside, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now there's writing on the inside of the book, but the backside had seven seals on the back of it that wasn't written in the book. Now this is the revelator talking, John. Now remember, it wasn't written in the book. In other words, the seal on the backside was what it said was not written inside. And in the days of the voice of the seven angel, all this mystery that's written within, inside, should be finished. It should be taken care of in that day. Now do you see what I mean? Are you following me? He told you himself on page 45 to do two things. Wind up loose ends and six seals. Number two, introduce Messiah. Amen. Then it's time. Now, do you see it, what I mean? Are you following me? Then is the time after that mystery is finished. Then is the time for the seven voices of Revelation 10 to be revealed. When the book is finished, there's only one thing left, and that is the seven mysterious voices of thunder that was wrote on the backside of the book that John was forbidden to write. Amen. Look, page 38. Look where the voices was in the thunders, not in heaven, on earth. The thunders never uttered from the heavens. They uttered from the earth because Christ come down and veiled himself behind the prophet and uttered the thunders. And John said, and I was about to write, Revelation 10, 3 and 4, when I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal, capital S, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And those were all the hidden mysteries that he brought out in his message from June 14, 1964, all the way around to the rapture tape in 65. That was uttered to John. John started to write, seal it up. Don't write it. Don't write it. You got it? It's, you may be seated. It's on the back side when the book is complete. Now, he didn't say on the front side. He said on the back side. After it's all done, completed, when these seven thunder voices is the only thing that was stuck to the book, that's not revealed. It's not even written in the book. Oh, my, I wish I could get that to the people. You could actually, don't fail. Don't fail. Please don't this time. I'm fixing to leave you. Don't fail. If you ever listen, listen. These seals are on the back side of the book. And at that time that the seventh angel is sounding, all the mysteries that's written in the book is completed. Amen. The written ones are completed. Amen. And immediately, the book that was open and written within is closed. The mysteries of God is finished. And this is the mysteries of God, the going of the church and all these other things. The mysteries is over. When that seventh angel sounds out, every mystery is over. Let him be who he may, whatever it might be, God's word can't fail. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. Amen. So we see. Amen. Well, you get some understanding? Page 39. Now, when he begins to sound, hit it again, the mystery will be finished. When he starts right away, in other words, 1 week. In Jeffersonville, he began and it was finished. Amen. Now when he begins to sound, the mystery will be finished. Then it's time for the seven sealed voices of Revelation 10 to be revealed. So I may inject here, maybe seated. So when he got to that seventh seal Sunday night, if you were there, you know what happened. Amen. Everybody was ready to hear what it was going to be. And he said he looked under there, and it was seven thunders banging. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And it went into unknown tongues. He said, I'll tell you this, it is connected to the coming of the Lord. Okay. Then it's time for the seven sealed voices of Revelation 10 to be revealed. Do you understand? When all the mysteries of the book is completed, and the Bible said here that he would finish the mysteries. When men back in other ages have fought for truth, they fought for justification. They wondered why. Sanctification, they fought for this, fought for that, they fought for this. What did they do? Turn right around and organize. Same thing, Pentecostals, Baptists, Presbyterian, Lutheran, everyone done the same thing. Turn right around and done the same thing. And the Bible said in Revelation 17 that that's what they would do. Old mother whore and her daughters, the mystery Babylon. Now there's only one thing left. That is the seven thunders that we don't know. And it would not have thundered in vain. God don't do something just to be playing. We play and act silly, but not God. Everything with God is yea and nay. He doesn't just fool. He doesn't kid. He means what he says, and he says nothing unless there's something meaning to it. And seven thunders right in the revelation here of Jesus Christ is some mystery. Does not the Bible say that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Why then there's some hidden mystery of it. Now you got it. In other words, in verse 7, when he began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Amen. But verse 3 and 4, there's hidden mysteries. Amen. Okay? There's some hidden mystery then of it, verse 3 and 4. What is it? The seven thunders have it. He said, don't write it. The seven thunders has got it. Well, John was about to write, and a voice came down from heaven and said, don't write it, but seal it up. Seal it up. Put it on the backside of the book. It's got to be revealed. It's the mysteries. Ha. Amen. Well, praise God. So now, the mystery, when he begins to sound, the mystery is finished. You understand that? Seven thunders held a hidden mysteries, Revelation 10, 3 and 4. Put it on the back side of the book. It's got to be revealed. It is the mysteries. Okay, we got this far then, huh? Well, praise God. Doing pretty good. Amen. Okay, page 43. Now look, he keeps combing over the top of this here. Now look, when it is time for the seven voices, then it's time for the seven voices when the book is completed of Revelation 10 to be revealed. Now notice, now I won't keep you too much longer. I know I'm wearing you out. It's 20 minutes to 10. I know standing up and you change your position. I'll be glad. Okay, I'll just skip that. Now note. The seven voices was thunders, blast. God help us. If I'm wrong, Lord forgive me. I'm asking you the question. It blasted with thunder, when this voice rung out. Did you notice that when the seven seals that followed the seven church ages, that's written, when the first seal was opened, there was a thunder. That's written inside. The first seals in the book was opened, there was a thunder. Would not the first seal on the outside book open the same way? And it did out in Arizona. A blast went off. Shook the whole earth. Amen. The first seals, may be seated. In the book was open, there was a thunder. Would not the first seal on the outside book open the same way? God doesn't change his program. Let's turn over to Revelation 6. And when I saw when the Lamb had opened one of the seals, and I heard as it was the noise of a thunder, and one of the four beasts said, come and see. And there was never another thunder, and the last seal was opened, which was the seventh seal. There was space in heaven for about a half an hour of silence. See, it was open, but it was silence. But the first seal was open, there was a blast of thunder. Old church, here Brother Branham was trying to tell the people, 1962, 42 years ago. Are we that far? Friends think, I hope it isn't. But what if it is? What was that blast? Because he had, you know, we had December 22nd, seven angels spoke, visited him. And then he was out there, of course, February 28th. What was that blast? Before God in his open Bible, I lie not. Blast that shook the earth. And when the first seal of the seven that was opened in the Bible, it come forth, just one. But a blast that shook the whole earth, a thunder. And then if the seals that's on the backside would open, would not it be a thunder too? Then he said, watch. I don't know. I can't say. Then somebody in the mess would pick up this. He said, I don't know. I can't say. But he just told you. Yes, sir. Okay, page 44. Now is it plain? When the first seal was opened, the seal that was inside the book, these mysteries that was sounded forth, justification, sanctification, Roman Catholic Church, Protestants, when all their little battles and things left loose ends in the Word of God, the seventh angel comes on and gathers them all up and explains them, and then he finishes, seven thunders utter out. He finishes first, right? When he was about to sound, finish, then seven thunders utter. John started to write, don't write it, seal it. And the first seal was open on the seal of the inside, over the thunder, page 45. And then if this is a continuation for the sounding of these last trumpets or these last thunders that's coming forth, the mysteries, the last seals, it will have to compete or compare with the rest of the scripture. And if them first ones in there open with a blast of thunder, the second ones, backside, the second ones will too. That's on the backside. Watch what happened. If the vision was scripture, then it must be interpreted by the scripture or a continuation of the same scripture. Notice Revelation 3 and 4, seven thunders, and notice 3 and 4, and then what? An oath from this mighty angel was finished. When these thunders, you see, brought forth their voices, just think of it, an angel clothed in a cloud, and a rainbow covered over his head. Why? You know who that is. Put one foot on the land and one on the sea, lift up his hand, and swore that when them seven thunders uttered their voices, that time would be no more. Are you getting the inference here? There was no more time in 1962. Are you understanding that? The bride will understand that. And she'll live like that. She'll praise God like that. Time will be no more. Could it be that, maybe seated, Elohim come down, veil himself in the prophet, and spoke, time shall be no more. We come out here 42 years. But what will happen now when Michael comes forth and then he utters them seven voices from page 304? Is there time no more? And if the ministry of the mysteries of God is finished, the ministry of the mysteries, what if that is them seven mysteries coming forth? In a humble little church like ours, that the Almighty has come and also regarded the lowest state of his people, you say, well, I don't think so. It might not be, but if it is, then time has run out. There's no more time. Do you think it? Be serious. It may be later than you think. It may be later than we think. So the stars falling into the constellation back yonder, that angel coming and saying, as John was sent to wind up the Old Testament, and bring forth the introduction of Christ, your message will wind up the loose ends and will introduce the Messiah just before his coming. Brother Coleman, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, that is coming, yes, but two parts of it is his appearing. Because his coming actually is the last trump, the trump of God, the seventh trumpet. So two parts of it. One part is the shout. The other part is the voice of the archangel. Also, Brother Nathaniel preached to you last Sunday. I come quickly. And my rewards are with me. Adoption time. Amen. The message of the last days. Notice the mighty angel swore with an oath that time would be no more. Now, I don't want to keep you too long. Just think of this now. Excuse me. Well, if the ministry of the mysteries of God have finished six seals and loose ends, what if it's those seven mysteries coming forth on the backside? Seven thunders, seven seals, seven voices, seven mysteries. Again, your message will wind up the loose ends and introduce the Messiah just before his coming, the message of the last days. Now let's go over to page 47. This is where he ties the thunders into the statue of a perfect man. Page 47, it might be closer than you think it is. It's got me scared. I haven't done enough. Where are we at? Time shall be no more. He announces that time is over. What happens? What happens? Could that be so now? Brethren, seriously think. If it is, this is if the thunders are coming forth, in other words. If it is, then the pyramid is capped by the seven thunders. The capping of the pyramid. So first, Elohim had to reveal the seven thunder, the capstone revelation. Then Micah will come back with the capstone manifestation to cap your pyramid. Could that be so, brethren? Maybe see them. Seriously think, if it is, then the pyramid is capped by the seven thunders. Now watch. You remember the pyramid message? It's the capstone. What did it do? The Holy Spirit capped off the individual and sealed it when we added to our faith, righteousness, godliness, faith, and so forth. We kept adding to it, got to seven things. And the seventh one was love, which is God. Now he's speaking seven from faith. You add it to your faith, seven things, and it goes into charity. You must keep that in your mind, see. We kept adding to it, got the seven things, and the seventh one was love, which is God. That's how he makes the individual. He caps him and seals him with the Holy Spirit. Then if that be so, now watch this, why he drops the thunders in here. He's got seven church ages that he has had seven mysteries. There's the thunders. That's been sounded away, and they fought for it to bring back. And now the headstone comes to cap off the church. Does the thunders mean that, my brethren? Sirs, is that where we're at? Well, page 53. Every one of you, cleanse your heart. Cleanse all your heart. Last night. Okay? Consecration. Lay aside everything. Every weight. Keep it out of your way. Don't let nothing bother you. Don't be scared. There's nothing to be scared about. If Jesus is coming, it's a moment that the whole world has groaned and cried for. Even so, come Lord Jesus. If it's something breaking forth now for a new coming of a new gift or something, it'll be wonderful. Now, if it's coming time, here it is, that the revelation of the seven thunders will be revealed to the church how to go. I don't know, I have, he said, I don't know. I have just stated what I saw. He told you, then he said, I don't know. You gotta have revelation. And so, you may be seated. So he tied the seven thunders into the statue of a perfect man. And on the statue of a perfect man on page 6, now we're approaching the seven seals. We just finished the seven church ages, and this is a message on teaching that ties the man in that's going to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and is going to be in that church age, that eternal church age at the end of the seals. Are you tied in? Okay. Well, amen. Well, church, do you understand the difference between the written seals, six seals, and the hidden mysteries under Revelation 10, 3, and 4? How many understand the difference? Pennsylvania? You understand? Wonderful. Amen. And, okay, do you understand, maybe seated, the difference between the written seals, six seals, and the hidden mysteries under Revelation 10, 3 and 4? And this has got to be revealed by the thunders, and only to be revealed by Christ's veil through the seven thunders uttering their voices. Well, do I have a little bit more time? Okay, I might as well finish it then. First seal on 63, page 147. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that last angel, earthly angel, this angel come down from heaven, Christ. Wasn't him. He come from heaven. But he's speaking here, the voice of the seventh angel, which is an angel, means a messenger. Anyone knows that? And a messenger of the church age. Now watch what he says here. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery. So that means that his voice would be sounding from March 63 right on up to 2004. Amen. In the days of the voice. Amen. Books and tapes. In the days of the voice, way down in Nigeria, in the days of the voice, Malaysia, New Zealand, India, in the days of the voice, South America, Central America, friends, it had to be spoken and go out to pick up the bride. Amen. Okay, may be seated. In the days of the voice, the man would be gone of the seventh angel. When he shall begin to sound the mystery, seven seals, all the mysteries. And they say it's not open, the seventh seal, but he said right here, all the mysteries of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophet. Brother Coleman, did he reveal the mystery of the seventh seal? Yes. Seven thunders banging, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the mystery of it. And then he took his tent vision and tied it in. And then he took the thunders from Revelation 10 and slid it under Revelation 8:1, the seventh seal. So it was finished. But now you have to get a revelation of it, and it's connected to the coming of the Lord. Well, praise God. The entire mystery is unfolding. Maybe seated. That's the ministry of that angel. See, be so simple, people just drop off the top of it. Now watch. But yet it'll be perfectly vindicated everywhere. Just be perfectly normal. Everybody that wants to see it can see it. That's right. Jesus said, as he said when he come, said you got eyes and can't see. Isaiah said you did, and you have ears and you can't hear. So there we are. It's okay. Warning then. Now this is 1963, July 24th, after the seven seals, which was in March. Page 29. Oh, don't you love them? Think of where we are, what we are. Look how far up the road we are. Friend, just look back down the road from way down yonder in the days of Luther Wesley on down through the ages. Look here where we are at. Right here at the top of the pyramid, up in the capstone, see? Right here where God has proved it, that the Bible, through the seven seals, has perfectly been revealed. Now watch, watch. Waiting only now for them seven last mysteries, right at last, on the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church that might happen before morning. So he clearly separated seven seals written and then seven last mysteries connected to the coming of the Lord. And he was still waiting in the summer of 63. What shall I do with Jesus called the Christ? November 24, 63. Page 43. This book's already open. The seven seal book is open. That's right. Now watch. Just waiting for the seventh seal, thunders, to be identified with the coming of the Lord, of Christ. So, other words, no thunders yet, and it's now November 63. Still waiting, but the book is open, and when it comes, it's got to be identified to the coming of the Lord. Shalom, Sierra Vista, Arizona, January 12, 1964. Let me skip something down here now. You showed in types, even exactly. I'm trying to hurry up. Paragraph 158, page 25. Just exactly like he showed us in the seven church ages, what would come. Just exactly what he showed us. What would come when he set that light up there in the Revelation to show the world. When he sent, here it is, when he sent the seven angels, now watch, when he sent the seven angels, the heavenly angels, right, to reveal the seven messengers that's been down through there. So the seven heavenly angels represented the seven earthly angels. Amen. And he said on One in a Million, 1965, California, he said each heavenly angel would represent a seal being opened. And he told you in Seventh Seal, what has it been, this mysterious part this week? It's been the angels coming every day, the heavenly angels, with the revelation of each seal. Right? Okay, when he sent the seven angels, heavenly, to reveal the seven messengers that's been down through there. Now watch, and show the loose ends. Each angel coming each day and revealing the loose ends through the six seals. See that? Each angel coming each day and revealing the loose ends that Luther and Wesley left and Pentecost left is all represented in there. And the very type and shadow of the great Shalom, Jehovah, because J-A-H-V-E-H, amen, exactly, throw it in the sky. And there is the mechanical eye taking a picture of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. Shalom, peace. Don't be worried. Jesus is here. His great light has come to us. And we're thankful for it because of the great mystery. Here he is today, manifest himself, doing the same thing he did then, just the same. Doing the very same thing. Now, page 28, we heard the word say that in the days of the seventh angel, in the church age, he just said the seventh angel's message would be the last message. And then, oh, we find out over here, watch, in Revelation 10, now this is very important here, in the days of the message of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God should be finished. Then he says, the seventh seal would be pulled back. It should be there. Pull the seventh seal back. And he looked under there, and there were thunders. You see? So, amen. So there we are. So, seventh seal pulled back. I think I got one more here. Proving his word. Amen. My. 1964. Okay, where we at here? Proving his word. Page 26. Don't you see in the shadows? Stop here a minute. In the last days, there's got to be a place prepared for the word to be made manifest. Now watch. Watch. And we're now living by the evidence of the new land. Amen. The Son of Man. You understand now what the new land is? The Holy Spirit, the Son of Man, morphed himself from Son of God to Son of Man. He came as the Word. Then, but that was still the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit in Word form. And that is the promises. So we here in New York, we preach Son of Man, which is word promise in promised land. And we fight for it. Son of Man is a promised land of promises. God give it to you, take it. And that's why you have an anointing here. Because it's the Son of Man. Praise God. Okay, five more minutes. Here we are. Page 52. You may be seated. You believe we live in the last days when the Son of Man was to be manifested. Now watch. That would be all the word that's gathered up through Luther, Wesley, Baptist, all that, and the Pentecostals. Now watch. All gathered up to the revelation of what it's all been. So then the thunders brings a revelation as to what it's all been. The seventh angel, Revelation 3:14, see, was to open the sixth seal mystery. I told you that. He opened six seals. He opened the seventh seal and Christ was there. He says connected to the coming of the Lord. So the seventh angel was to open the sixth seal mystery. It's all gathered up in the Son of Man. So when the Son of Man veiled himself, an unveiling of God, he gathered up all the six seals, everything else, into him. And it became one message. Amen. So is all gathered up in the Son of Man, his ministry here. His fullness of time has come to the fullness of his word to manifest the fullness of his body. Now, catch this here now. Maybe see it. That's the word. That's the spoken word. Spoken word. That's the spoken word made manifest by the word. Who's that? Elohim, Son of Man. Son of Man is veiled in prophet. Son of Man takes his own Bible and thunders seven times. And the whole hidden mysteries is open. You got it? That's the spoken word made manifest by the word veiled. Reveal the word. This is the revealed word. A land of promises, adoption, perfection, your healing, your family. Preach it.
Well, praise God. Amen, Pennsylvania. You got it? Well, now we can have a revival. Because you know who he is. You know who you are. And you know who Satan is. So the Son of Man come and reveal the seven thunders. You may be seated. Well, church, we are at the end time for the finishing of the seventh seal. Elohim revealed the hidden mysteries through Malachi 4. Michael will reveal, make known, bring up the hidden mysteries by the ministry of the manifestation of the adopted sons of God on the third phase, adoption time. Brother Coleman, this seems to be so simple. How come all the ministers are not preaching this? Well, it only comes by revelation. Well, okay, I'm finished now. Everybody feeling fine? So, Brother Musgrove had a meeting in May 25th, 1976, down in Clarksville. Some of you are here. I know Brother Backus was there. I could hear him shouting down there, you know. Amen, Brother Backus. Is he here today? No, he's not here. Okay. Okay, so in that meeting there, I was having a rough time because I was speaking to Jeffersonville. They were there. And they were staring at me, you know, and talking about shouting and going on. I said, well, I see a lot of people here from Jeffersonville that I used to see back in the early 60s. I remember you people shouting when the prophet preached. I remember you worshiping. Amen. I took it right to them. So now why would you want your children to be denied the same thing that you did? Why are you coming in with no worship now? Amen. So I said, well, I'll try to help you. Maybe seated. So then, here's what I told them. I said, well, just trying to help you. Because I want to be myself a living testimony in this generation of all that the prophet has said. Do you want the same thing? In the congregation says, amen. So therefore, God help us not to be ashamed, friends. Help us to be living testimonies of Malachi 4's entire message. That's what I have the book here. That's what I told him. You know, a little parable. Many are afraid to speak out on certain promises, you know. And so, little parable, they are kind of divided into four groups, those who are afraid to speak out. We'll call group number one everybody. Group number two is somebody. Is it sinking in? Group number three is anybody. And group number four is nobody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody that there's somebody that can save your soul. So when I dropped that off, they got quiet. I said, well, the caravan is traveling on. Let the dogs bark. Amen. Can you imagine me in Clarksville, Indiana, with Jeffersonville? I'm down and telling these people that? Wow. So now, for those of you in this message, ministers, believers, or whoever you are, who have a revelation, a genuine thirst for the true message of God, but so far up to this time, but you're kind of ashamed, you're kind of embarrassed to say certain things, you know, the prophet has said, because it has already been identified as smutty, such as thunders. I took it right to them. You kind of back up from it. You see, well, I'm trying to give you a little parable not to fall into these four groups. You know, everybody, somebody, anybody, nobody. But don't be ashamed of, you know, of the gospel. Step out there. So everybody and somebody and anybody and nobody, there was an important job to do and a service to be done. And Malachi 4 left. And we had about
give us about the space of a half an hour. Now, number one, now it was there, right? Seven thunders, gathers the bride together, gives faith, show you how to prepare. It's there. Amen. Anybody could pick it up. It's just there for everybody. Didn't matter any race, any creed, color. It doesn't matter. The prophet left. Anybody in Africa or Europe or anywhere could pick it up. That's what it's for. It's for the seeds of God from heaven, not from this earth. So therefore, he left the job to be done. Number one, and everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was included, all races and kinds. Number two, everybody was sure somebody would do it. Number three, anybody could have done it. Anybody, any minister, any person, any brother could have said what the prophet said. Anybody could have said it. Huh? Number four, but nobody did it. My, somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it. But nobody realized that everybody would not do it. Oh, hallelujah, thine the glory. I started singing there. Hallelujah, amen. Yes, sir. Praise God. And now the climax. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody. Don't you worry. When the dynamic strikes the church within the message, then everybody is going to blame somebody when actually nobody has anybody. So there we are. So Lord, don't let me be everybody, somebody, anybody, nobody. I thank God for an elected, predestinated bride. Praise God. Way back in Elohim's mind, that's not a shame of the gospel. It's not a shame of what the prophet declared. Praise God. God bless you, Brother Musgrove, Brother Robledo, because Brother Robledo preached it also. And the rest of you brethren here and around the world, Brother Olu, Brother I, all y'all right here. Amen, Brother LeBron, all over here, see? And not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because you come from the back part of Elohim's mind. They didn't know what he was talking about. They didn't have a clue. He spoke to you. You become part of the logos. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. Praise God. So we are not everybody, somebody, nobody, anybody. Brother, we're part of Elohim. We rotated off of the mind of God. We can't help it. We have to speak. And my words shall not return to me void. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you.
All nations must praise him. All nations must worship him. All nations must, amen, glorify his name. Alanase. Alanase Mutiera. Alanase Mutiera. Oh, Alanase Mutiera. Hey! Glory, glory, oh yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, hey, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Well, I'm just a I'm trying to tell about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, the Lord saved. Oh, yes, He did. He saved. Oh, yes, He saved. When you were down and out, He saved. When you thought you couldn't make it anymore, He saved. Oh yeah, saved your soul. I'm so thankful this morning. I'm just a nobody. I'm trying to tell everybody. Young people, when you didn't think you could make it anymore, when you thought you were down to your last hour of Christianity, That's when he reached down and he pulled you out. And he put your feet on a rock of revelation. And he showed you your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, hallelujah. And the praises and the shouts and the hallelujahs and the freedom in the soul to know that I was there when the morning stars sang together. The sons of God shouted for joy when Michael pulled his sword on that momentous day. And he ushered 2/3 of those fallen angels out of heaven. I was there. Let me testify. Let me testify about it. I kicked out lust. I kicked out alcohol. I kicked out sex. I kicked out uncleanness. I kicked out desire for boy. I kicked out desire for girl. I kicked out every unclean spirit known to mankind. Hallelujah. And I'm here today to testify. Satan, I still have the victory. You are more than conquerors. You are more than able. You are more than able to take the land. It's your land. It's your mountain. Possess your inheritance. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Every young man, you are free. Every young sister, you are free. Every mama and papa who has been bound, you are free. No more. No more does the devil have hold on you. Amen, Brother Olu. We are victorious. We have the power. We can jump. We can shout. We can praise our God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 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 Pennsylvania, you are free. You are free. You are free. Gotta forgive me. Amen. Don't forgive me. Amen. If you're on my side, you don't forgive me. You say, come on, Brother Joey. Give me some more. Give me some more. I know who I am. I know who he is. I know who Satan is. And I am coming with my sword drawn. Watch out, devil. The bride is on patrol. We are on patrol. The word is in the bride. The life is in the sea. Glory to God, Pennsylvania.